raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. But suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them lies the land, as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through the defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders. Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. Hey, Tammy, how are you, darling?
I'm good. How are you?
Always something. We're here. We got it. We got this. And I hope you guys are ready to find out about this mystery Babylon. We've been misled about that. There's so many things we've been misled about, but that's one of them. And yeah, we're going to get to that, about whether it's America or who was it. Yeah. So, and actually, in the book of Zechariah, it talks about the basically the same things we were talking about in the book of Revelation, but it was in the Old Testament. If you guys have been, hopefully did your homework, this is the book we're working on, End Times, and the major clues from minor prophets. The minor prophet we're on today is Zechariah. We're on the second lesson, and I hope you guys are loving it, because I love it. I love me some minor prophets. How about you, Tammy?
Yeah. Me too, yes.
Yeah, these books, I'd always looked at them as, you know, just ancient history, and about, you know, and now I realize they were telling us clues about this day, and now we know it. Now we see what they were trying to tell us all along. Very, very cool. All right, if you guys are new here, definitely hit the like button. I don't think I have the like button screen, but you guys know what the like button looks like. And if you guys are over here from the new Rumble channel, the new relaunch of the YouTube channel, welcome. I'm going to be hopefully posting these live over there. So we're kind of getting all these things, kinks worked out and getting everything rolling. But for right now, we're just going to be uploading them afterward. But yeah, so I'm glad to see everybody this morning. I hope more and more coming on. And I hope, like I said, you did your homework. And if you're new here, you can look at all the old ones. My wonderful assistant, Tammy. Everyone give her an applause. She has put all these videos of the lessons over on MelissaRedPill.com. Yay. So when you go there and you click on this link, End Times Intro, that's the easiest way to find it. You see all the information about end times. It's the end times for them and 1,000 years of peace for us. So if you scroll all the way to the bottom, there's the study guide and the answer key. Here are the links so you can find all the videos that decode end times and the videos that decode the minor prophets. And you can also listen to them right here. We've got audiobooks for all the books. Now let's pray and we're going to get started. All right, let's do it. Hang on, let me move this up to the top and then we're going to get moving. Thank you so much, Lord. This is the end of it for them. We see it happening before our very eyes. We're so thankful that you promised this in your word and that you paid for this with your own blood on the cross. We will praise you forever. All of humanity will praise you forever because you alone are able to bind
the strong man, because you are the stronger man. You are the one who can destroy the works of darkness. And we praise you for that you put them before an open shame and a public spectacle when you paid for our sins on the cross, and you broke their back. You ruined them. And I just know, Lord, you're going to expose all of these demons for what they are, and then they'll be gone from us, and we'll have these beautiful days of health and wealth and peace. We praise you. We are dependent upon you to teach us the truth, and we ask that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, you will guide us into all truth as you always do. Teach us, speak to us as we read your word, and help us to understand the truth about Mystery Babylon, the truth about the horsemen, all these things, Lord. Speak so that we hear you very clearly, because this is the day of the Great Awakening, that you are finally, you know, exposing some of these things that you had hidden on purpose for a long time. We thank you that you are doing that for us. And we ask your blessing on everyone here. And we pray this in your great name, Jesus, the King of the world. Amen. Alrighty, everybody. Did you hit the like button? Everybody hit the like button. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. You guys are the best. Don't forget to have your bell rung. When I got back on YouTube, there were some people who were notified, and the ones who weren't, they didn't have their bell rung, they weren't notified, so they don't know yet. So if you guys can make sure to share those videos, that would really help, because that'll help this to get into people's feed and go, hey, Melly's back. All right, so as long as I can keep myself from doing something, saying something that I'll get in trouble for again. Oh, by the way, that video that I had posted that they had marked because of the AUTISM, that they put back on there because I think they realized that this was just something that President Trump was just talking about. So there you go. Mm-hmm. But still, I'm still think I need to be careful over there. All right, so I don't know if you guys saw that I shared this. I'm going to pop this into the chat. I was sharing the putting on the armor of God. All right, so I'm going to pop that in here so you guys can maybe go over there and like it and comment and share on it, because everybody needs to have the armor on. We got some crazy stuff coming up, I think, soon that'll really kind of just snap people to awaken, and especially if they see, which I think is what it is they're going to see the, likely the more riots all over the country, and really that'll probably be the moment. I think that's the awakening, really, to shock everyone to realize we're about to lose our country here because these people are taking over. All right, so yeah, so that one has, oh good, it's gotten 12,000 views. So thank you for everybody who's been going over there to share it and comment on it, and because everybody needs to have their armor on. We've already found out that if you're not ready, you can get the body slam. So everybody, stay comfy, stay in faith, stay at peace. Right. All right, here we go. This is our video today. This is our lesson today. What is Mystery Babylon? Four Horses of the Apocalypse Decoded. This is Zechariah part two. Okay, so last week, I'm going to go over kind of what we did last week, because just a little quick summary of what we did, because I don't want you guys to be like, where are we? How are we going? So on last week, we talked about in question number one, it talked about how the Lord had told them to stop worshiping Baal. Hello, right? And that because they did not, then the Assyrians were the punisher. They were the ones who were having to chastise the people, and they were cast out of the land. And they, so this is, the Lord had told them if they did this, they would be in serious trouble. And that's exactly what they did. And that's exactly what he did. They had to be in serious trouble for that. Okay. And so now, what we're seeing is, he said that they had gone too far. So there's a dual fulfillment. This is what happened back in the day. But what's happening now is that we are now the punisher. We are the ones who are like, they went too far. They've done all this evil, and we're going to plunder them. Okay? So that was what we talked about last week. Remember, when you look at the minor prophets, it's important to understand there was a fulfillment in that day where the prophet was talking to the people of that day, but it's also talking to the people of our day, okay? And then he's also was talking about Joshua and how Satan was coming and trying to accuse him and say he's no good, and he used to worship Baal, and now he's evil. And the Lord said, I've cleansed him. I know how. I've cleansed him. Don't you worry about that. And so he was forgiven, and he stood righteous in the Lord's sight. Remember how he had the white turban and all that. And so then it talked about how then now, because Joshua was made righteous, this isn't talking about Joshua, Moses' assistant. This is another one. It's talking about how he was then able to build God's temple on earth. So that's exactly what we are doing. Because the Lord has made us righteous, we're able to build the temple. It's not about building up something with stones. It's about building up God's people, right, all over the world. And I just can't wait for everybody to realize what it's talking about, that you are a living stone, as the New Testament talks about. Our Lord Jesus talked about that. We don't all need to go sit in some building. We've all found out that going in a building is not the answer, right? That's not the answer. We have to be living stones built up to really run the world, rule and reign with Christ, and have the righteousness on the earth. And we're not building a temple, we're building people. Okay, so that's what we did last week. If you didn't see it, go back, like I said, on the End Times page where Tammy has put that over there. I'm sure you have. Have you put that last one over? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's on it. Yay, Tammy's on it. Anyway, so as soon as you can go look at those, as well as the other ones of all the other minor prophets. We've come a long way in the book. Now, today, we're on question number 6, and we're going to kick it off with a bang. This is talking about mystery Babylon and what is this wickedness, absolute wickedness. And so I think I'm right there on it, because I think I'll make it a little bit bigger because that'll make it easier for everyone to see. All right. All right. So you ready, Tammy? Okay. Does anybody have a question? Yes, let's get to punishing, H. Clay. We're ready for the Punisher, aren't we? We're ready. Okay, yeah. So yes, thank you, Songbird. I think everybody's good. Yes, you're a living stone. Thank you. All right, so now let's go with number 6. Now let's look at how similar Zechariah 5 through 11 and Revelation 17, 3 through 6, because I always thought that the book of Revelation was like I just didn't understand Zechariah. I just didn't get it. And so now I realize they're almost identical. They have so many things in common. So check this out when you read Zechariah 5:5 through 11 and Revelation 7:3 through 6. What does Babylon represent? And who are the main characters in both passages? What do they represent? All right, go.
Okay. So then the angel who talked with me came forward and said to me, "Lift up now your eyes and see what this is that is appearing." I said, "What is it?" He said, "This is the ephah basket that is appearing." He said, "Moreover, this is their appearance in all the land. And behold, a lead cover weighing 1 talent was lifted up, and there was a woman sitting in the middle of the ephah basket." He said, "This is wickedness." And he threw her down into the middle of the ephah basket, and he threw the lead weight on its mouth. Then I lifted my eyes and saw, and behold, there were 2 women, and the wind was in their wings. Now they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah basket between earth and the sky. Then I said to the angel who talked with me, Where are these carrying the ephah basket? He said to me, "To build her a house in the land of Shinar, where it is prepared. She will be set there in her own place."
All right, so Zechariah is talking about this back in the day that John is going to talk about also, that this absolute wickedness. Okay, if you get anything from that passage, the angel's telling, it's not about a basket or about a woman. It's about this, you have to just slam a lid over this thing because keep that evil in that basket, right? But unfortunately, it has come throughout all the world. So it's basically the Satan worship that's been all over the world, basically making it like hell on earth. Okay. All right. So then what does it say in Revelation 17:3-6?
He carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet colored beast full of blasphemous names, having 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and a scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of the sexual immorality of the earth. and on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of the prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great amazement.
Right, me too. When I found out about these people and what they were doing underground, I was wondering in great amazement. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. This can't be real. And then I realized it was real. Most people just either can't believe it or don't want to believe it and just have that cognitive dissonance. But yeah, so John saw the evil that they would do, and he was just in wonder, just how could someone do it? Well, it makes sense when you realize that they are under the inspiration of demons. We're under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They're under the inspiration of demons. So, of course, that's what they're going to do, is what demons do. They brought hell on earth, literally. Okay? And so sometimes when President Trump talks about, you know, he's going to bring hell on, he's literal. He's saying, you know, this is, you guys wanted this type of thing. We're going to put it on you. And so you'll be the ones who are destroyed instead of God's people. So he's not just using words just for no reason. All right, so yeah, so you see how these are the same. This woman in the basket that Zechariah was talking about. And now this one, this woman in purple and scarlet, of course, they're the royalty, right? And they're decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. But look at this. It says, full of abominations, absolute abject evil. I mean, just things that you... This whole transgender thing is straight from the pits of hell. That they would, you know, it's just evil, right? All the things that they've done in Gaza. I mean, just on and on it goes. I don't want to talk about it, but you guys know very well what I'm talking about. And the impurities of this sexual immorality of the earth. All this trafficking. I mean, I don't even want to, some of these things I really haven't even looked into because what I do know curdles the stomach. And this is what he's talking about, this abject wickedness. But of course, they want to say, America's the great evil, right? The great Satan. Yeah, that's it. That's what it is. Silly. You know, of course they want to say that. Or that, you know, that the Catholic Church is. Well, and to be honest, the Catholic Church has its own faults. There have been some really bad leaders and who've done some really bad things using God's house for evil. But it's not the Catholic Church that's the problem. It's the ones who've hijacked it. Okay? Same thing with America. There are evil people who've hijacked America to use it for evil. Wars, etc. Okay? But it's not America. It's the Satanists. Right? And so same thing with, you know, it's not Iraq, it's not Iran, it's not some country in the north and all that. It's these evildoers who have caused all this mayhem in the world. All right. So yeah. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs. They're just like, oh, isn't this fun? I mean, it's just, think of hellish delight with them screeching with glee. Then yeah, that's what he's talking about here. Absolute evil from the pits of hell. Okay. And wondered in great amazement. So there you go. As H. Clay was saying, he says, I'm sick of being, you know, America being said, called the great, you know, Babylon or the whore, whatever. No, that's not the truth. And of course they couldn't ever say, oh, well, it's the people who worship demons. Of course. They couldn't ever tell us what it really was, right? But I am. Praise the Lord, I know. And I was able to, you know, put it together and put it in these books and make it very, very easy and clear. And I'm sure they don't like that. But if the thing is, a lot of these people who are leaders in the church are highly controlled, and they can't say these things. They can't come out with the truth. So it's dependent upon people like us to get the truth out. So that's, you know, that's what the whole citizen army is about. That's what the digital army is about. And so, yeah, I just saw one this week, Robert Morris, who is a big televangelist. He was just arrested for, you know, I posted that online. Buckle up. It's going to be more. It's going to be more. Before it's over, it's going to be more of these people who have been doing these, using these positions for evil. And you know that they've been highly controlled. And so just buckle up. That's okay. We're rooting out the evil wherever it is. Okay? So, yeah. All right. So is there anything else that we didn't answer on this question? We talked about, what does Babylon represent? Who are the main characters in both passages, and what do they represent? Okay, the woman is basically the satanic worship, where they have this glee for all the hell they bring on earth. Anything else? Anybody else?
No.
All right. No. Okay, so yes, this is God's America, right? We have this great, you're right, H. Clay, we have a great destiny. And that's the truth about America, the real America. The ones who've hijacked it will be gone, and that we'll have the real America will emerge, and the real Catholic Church will emerge, and the real everything will emerge when the evildoers are gone. It's going to be wonderful. All right. So now, number 7, how do the four chariots in Zechariah 6, 1 through 8, and the four horses in Revelation 6, 1 through 11, and the four angels in Revelation 7, 1 through 3, compare and contrast with each other? I mean, how could I have missed this? It's like the same horses, the red and the black and the, you know, it's the same. I missed it. Oh, well, whatever. It's okay. We now get it. So, okay, read this for us and we'll talk about it.
Again, I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, four chariots came from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of bronze. In the first chariot were red horses, in the second chariot were black horses, in the third chariot were white horses, in the fourth chariot were dappled horses, all of them powerful. Then I asked the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my lord?" The angel answered me, "These are the four winds of the sky, which go out from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The one with the black horses goes out toward the north country. The white went out after them, and the dappled went out toward the south country. The strong went out and sought to go that they might walk back and forth through the earth. He said, 'Go around and through the earth.' So they walked back and forth through the earth. Then he called to me and spoke to me, saying, 'Behold, those who go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country.'"
All right. So just briefly, we've got these chariots. They, you know, come out. The first chariot had red horses. Second had black horses. The third had white horses. And the fourth had dappled horses. Doesn't that remind you of something? We're going to read this in Revelation chapter 6. You're like, oh my goodness, it's the same thing. Okay, so now read that one.
Okay, I saw that the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, "Come and see." Then a white horse appeared, and he who sat on it had a bow. A crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come." Another came out, a red horse. To him who sat on it was given power to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. There was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, "Come and see." And behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a balance in his hand. "Come," I looked up and saw a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. I heard a voice in the middle of the four living creatures saying, "A phoenix of wheat for a denarius, and three chenics of barley for a denarius. Don't damage the oil and the wine." Then he opened the fourth seal. I heard the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." And behold, a pale horse, and the name of he who sat on it was Death. Hades followed with him, authority over one-fourth of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with famine, with death, and by the wild animals of the earth was given to him. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been killed for the word of God and for the testimony of the Lamb which they had. They cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, Master, the holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" A long white robe was given to each of them. They were told that they should rest yet for a while, until their fellow servants and their brothers, who would also be killed even as they were, should complete their course.
All right. Thank you, Miss Tammy. All right. So, yeah. So you see how Zechariah was told about these horsemen, and they're going out in north, south, east, and west. Okay. They're going out. And then when we get the revelation from John, it is expanded and given more detail. And so now we understand what these horsemen are doing. They're being used, well, in the hand of the Lord to punish God's people. right? In these four different ways. I'll talk about it in just a second. I'll talk about more on the book, End Times and a Thousand Years of Peace. This one right here. This one right here. End Times, I talk about it, and a Thousand Years of Peace. I go into a lot more detail than we're going to go into right now. But in a nutshell, they represent four different ways that they attack us. One is the white horse, which is puppet leaders that are installed to be acting like they're a good ruler, and they're not. The black horse is deprivation and financial disaster. The red horse is all these wars. And then the green or the dappled is about all the things that they do to make us sick and keep us sick. Now we understand how they've been destroying us. And as I was saying before, the Lord had given the Assyrians this job that they had to be punished, okay? Nope, as I've quoted many times, Hebrews 12, 6 and 7, no punishment seems joyous but grievous, but afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God's dealing with you as with sons, all right? So it was not going to be fun. None of this was fun. And it was not just on one individual. It was corporate. The whole country had to be punished. How do you punish a whole country? Well, they have to be cast out. And they have to be under these authoritarian rulers. And they have to have financial hardship. And they have to have health hardship. And we can all attest, and we also have war hardship. We can all attest to that when we have gone through difficulty, that has taught us to turn to the Lord and to walk more circumspectly with him, right? To be more careful to walk in his ways. But it is. It's an interesting passage. It says that even our Lord Jesus learned obedience through that which he suffered. It's a very strange passage because I've always think, well, he's perfect. Why does he need to learn anything? But even he learned obedience. Not that he ever disobeyed. I'm not saying that. But that verse says he learned obedience through that which he suffered. And the same thing applies to us. We learn through obedience through that which we suffer. And this is what the purpose of this was. But as we learned last week, they went too far. And the New World Order has gone, they've taken it up several notches and to the point where they're going to kill off humanity. Okay, so this is where it's got to stop. It's got to, this punishment has to be over. All right, and basically the curse of Satan running the world has got to be broken, and which our Lord Jesus did accomplish on the cross. And so now it's just being done in real time now and corporately. Okay, so it's giving more detail about what these horsemen are doing. And so, yeah, they're saying, how long, Lord, till these people are punished? Because they're literally doing evil, but they're not his children. As I just quoted from Hebrews 12, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives, right? So this is, if you endure chastening, it's because you're his son. And these ones are not. So they have taken in demons. They belong in the kingdom of darkness. They like the kingdom of darkness. Whatever, it's what it is. All right, so then the other thing is another comparison with these four angels and the four winds and the four corners. What is that about, Tammy?
Okay. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, so that no wind would blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. I saw another angel ascend from the sunrise, having the seal of the living God. He cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to harm the earth and the sea, saying, don't harm the earth, the sea, or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads.
All right. This is talking about how this truth, as I was praying before, the Lord held back the truth about what was really going on until humanity was ready. And this is what's so wonderful about the beautiful sign of the Son of Man that appeared on September 23rd, 2017, at the Feast of Trump, this beautiful sign in the heavens from Revelation 12, 6 and 7. At that moment, the Lord said, okay, it's time, finally. We've been waiting on this beautiful sign. It's called The Woman in Labor. If you haven't read that, go into this book in End Times Major Clues from Minor Prophets, and you'll learn more about what is this woman in labor, talked about 18 times all throughout God's Word. It's this sign right here, and that we would be under the boot of these tyrants until that would happen, okay? So, he's saying, don't harm them. Don't harm the people. Put the seal on them and they'll be protected. And I really believe that that's what the Lord has done for us. You know, I can attest, you know, I, by all accounts, with me being poisoned, I should have been dead. But the Lord has, I'm sealed. I'm sealed. I don't know that I'm bulletproof like Trump, but, you know, the Lord sealed us for this job. And we're in this job to do his will until he says it's time to go. And so, anyway, it's, this is what the angels were doing. It was holding back so the truth wouldn't blow, and the truth wouldn't, like, blow like a trumpet and blast out onto the earth. And that's why I love the Feast of Trumpets, because I'm telling you, this past Feast of Trumpets, we got a big bunch of truth blowing out throughout the world. But that goes right along with what we saw in Zechariah 6, 1 through 8, where it talks about these are the four winds of the sky which go out from the standing before the Lord of all the earth. The one with the black horses go out toward the, you know, the north, south, east, and west. So anyway, this is just about, in that case, it's kind of more like about the them sending the people out in the Punisher out throughout the earth. But the ultimate thing is, as we as this, the seed was scattered, it looked like it was going to be horrible. It looked like it would be horrible, that everyone would be exiled. But it was for their good to get away from these Baal-worshipping kings, right? Like Ahab and Jezebel. And then to have the truth scattered through all the world. See, isn't that beautiful? The Lord uses all this for good. All right. I also put in the book here, we learned that the color coding of the horses symbolized the end times. Okay, so I had that in there. The white is the tyrant leaders. The red is the war cartel. The black is the banking cartel. The pale or the dappled is the pharma cartel. Okay, so now that's number 7. Everybody good on that? Anybody have any questions about that? You can chat. Throw them in the chat. Yes, thank you, Songbird. Yes, don't forget to hit the like button, everybody. Thank you so much, and always share. All right, number 8. Who is the branch? Spoken up about Zechariah 6, 12 through 13 and 15. And what glimpse are we being given about the branch ruling as king and priest of the world? I love it. Check it out.
Okay. And speak to him, saying, Yahweh of armies says, behold, the man whose name is the branch. He will grow up out of his place, and he will build Yahweh's temple. He will build Yahweh's temple. He will bear the glory and will sit and rule on his throne. He will be a priest on his throne. The council of peace will be between them both. Those who are far off shall come and build in Yahweh's temple, and you shall know that Yahweh of armies has sent me to you.
Yay!
This will happen if you will diligently obey Yahweh, your God's voice.
I love that. I love that. There's so, and that's in my new book, The Golden Age, that I still have not had time to work with. But it talks about how you'll one day you will know that the Lord sent me to you. In other words, he's saying, you know, you'll know that I was the one who saved you. And everyone will know. Everyone will know. It says it so many times. Here's just one of the places. You will know that the Yahweh of armies has sent me to you. But he will bear the glory. I love that. And he will sit and rule on his throne. And he'll be a priest on his throne. Both offices. He is our king to rule. And he's our priest to draw us to God. He's the high priest that covers our sins. He does it all. He does it all. He is the one who's worthy to do it all. And, you know, to rule the world is wonderful, but it really, we need both. We need someone to bring us to God and really to bring everyone to God. I was just talking with my parents about that this morning. And because a lot of people are saying, oh, well, the Muslims this or the, you know, whatever. I believe everyone, as I say in the first chapter of the book, End Times and a Thousand Years of Peace, everyone will recognize Jesus as their Messiah. They've been waiting. Every world religion has been waiting on a Messiah. And they'll realize he's the king and the priest. That our Lord Jesus is the one, and he's the Messiah. The one we've all been waiting for. So very exciting. Very exciting. So, and then, yeah, that, and that they'll recognize that, I mean, just like you have, we've all been misled about things, and they'll realize that Jesus is the one who did his blood takes away sin. They'll recognize that eventually. Everyone will. And they'll realize that you know, he's the only one who could destroy the works of darkness and cast out the strong man, as I prayed earlier, cast out Satan. He's the only one who could bring us to God where our sins are forgiven, because doing good things is not going to cut it. And we needed someone who would translate us from that kingdom of darkness, that Satan kingdom, into his kingdom of righteousness and peace.
All right. All right. So it says he'll rebuild
everything that the enemy has stolen from us. He'll build. It says he'll build the temple. It's rebuilding you and me. He'll rebuild, yes, buildings, but most importantly, you know, rebuilding each one of us so that we are who he, you know, created us to be. Especially these people who've been so misled. There's so many people who have been so misled and so, you know, damaged and so many things. It just breaks my heart. But they're made in God's image, and the Lord will restore them and rebuild them. All right. Love it. The council of peace will be between them both, between the law and the, you know, they're always saying separation of church and state. You know, he'll be both. We're going to have separate church and state will be one. I'm not talking about theocracy. I'm talking about Christ ruling the world. You know, he's the ruler. If somebody don't like it, take it up with him. I didn't write it.
Yeah, it's going to be wonderful.
Oh, and by the way, on top of all this other stuff, you know, I'm on the school board, and I had to do a training this week. And in Texas, we now have two things that have just happened. I posted this, that Ken Paxton has said that he's giving us, you know, he wants every school board to vote on whether they will allow prayer in their school. And he says he will make sure that whatever schools do, that they will be protected, and he will, you know, fight for them to make sure that they are protected from the whoever, ADL, whoever it is. Number two, I just found out that it is now, as of this most recent session, it is required that in every classroom we have the Ten Commandments. I'm like, what? I didn't even know about that. That's very cool. We need it. And so I was like, I'm kind of getting off the subject, but this really goes to the subject of not the separation of church and state. I was just talking with some dear friends of mine who were Muslim and saying, you know, we all agree, Ten Commandments, don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery, you know, don't lie. I mean, how is that, you know, honor your parents? I mean, simple stuff, right? And so I think we can all at least come together around those things at the beginning. All right. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to add on that before we go? Yeah, so Bob said, for when the Antichrist takes up the residence in Jerusalem. Yeah, that's what we were told, Bob. That's what we were told. That's what we were told. But that's not the truth. That is not the truth. That was, we've been misled about a lot of things, Bob. We've been misled about many things, and that's just one of them. And so America is not Mystery Babylon, and it's not for when the Antichrist takes up residence in Jerusalem, because the Antichrist, my friend, the Antichrist is these evildoers. They are anti-Christ. They're anti-love. They're anti-freedom. They're anti-justice. They're anti, you know, everything. And the great news is we're casting them out. We're casting them out. Of course, they never would tell us that. They never would tell us that the Antichrist was them. They kept that hush hush. But now we realize who the Antichrist is. It's the New World Order. We're fighting them, and we're going to remove them from all their positions of authority. Oh, and by the way, this morning we were talking about Pfizer a little bit. I believe Pfizer will be restored, because it can be a good company if you just get the Satan worshipers out so that they're not running it. All these companies, I believe, will be restored to what they should have been and not using it for evil, okay? I don't think that President Trump is trying to destroy all these companies. He's trying to restore them, okay, to make them to what they were should be, which is truly for healing of the people. But yeah, the Antichrist is, no doubt, the New World Order, and they are Satan worshipers. And they got to go.
They got to go. That's what this whole battle is about. This whole battle of Armageddon is about casting them out. Okay, number 9.
what is the mindset of the ancestors of the Lord's people in Zechariah 7, 8 through 14? And what did the Lord do to them? Tammy. Uh-oh, you're muted, hon.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yahweh's word came to Zechariah, saying, thus has Yahweh of armies spoken, saying, execute true judgment and show kindness and compassion every man to his brother. Don't oppress the widow, the fatherless, the foreigner, nor the poor, and let none of you devise evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to listen and turned their back and stopped their ears that they might not hear. Yes, they made their hearts as hard as flint, lest they might hear the law and the words which Yahweh of armies has sent by his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore, great wrath came from Yahweh of armies. It has come to pass that, as he called, and they refused to listen, so that they will call, and I will not listen, said Yahweh of armies. But I will scatter them with a whirlwind among all the nations, which they have not known. Thus the land was desolate after them, so that no man passed through nor returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate.
There you go. Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much, Tammy. All right, mm-hmm. So let's talk about that one. So let me go back down. The mindset of our ancestors was they were hard-headed and hard-hearted and just wouldn't listen. I mean, the prophets went time and time and time and time again saying, look, please, listen. You cannot sacrifice these children. I mean, and they're just like, oh yeah, but that's what we're told. You know, Ahab and Jezebel said we're supposed to. Like, yeah, no. He says execute true judgment. Show kindness and compassion every man to his brother. Don't oppress these widows. Don't oppress the fatherless. Don't, you know, the orphans, right? Don't oppress the foreigners and the poor. And he was saying, but they refused. This is why they were cast out of the land. They had moved into the promised land, into Canaan, cannibal land, and they began to do the very same things that these evildoers did, and just exactly like Moses told them would happen in Deuteronomy 29 and 30. He says, don't, when you go into the land, don't do that. But they did. But listen to this passage. They refused to listen. They turned their backs and they made their hearts as hard as flint. Flint is like just, it's one of the hardest elements known to man. Refused to listen. Just stopping up their ears, as it says. Lest they might hear the law and the words which they refused to listen. They turned their backs. They stopped up their ears. Literally doing like this deal. No, 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 la, la, that kind of thing. And they made their hearts as hard as flint, lest they would hear the law and the words. Now, this is a very interesting passage. This is one of those passages in the Bible that I've always been, you know, like, what is this talking about? I don't get this, Lord. I don't get it. Okay. In Isaiah chapter 6, this is very strange. Very, very strange. There's this wonderful Isaiah has gone before the Lord. The Lord says, look at this. This place is, you know, well, let me back up. Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up, how glorious the Lord is in holiness and his purity, and everything's beautiful. It's wonderful. And then he realizes, I mean, even the angels are so holy, they have to cover their faces because they're like, the Lord is so holy. I mean, the angels can't even look upon the Lord. And so Isaiah realizes he's sinful man. I'm screwed. He says, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. We're all filthy, rotten sinners. We're all, you know, compared to the Lord, because he saw the holiness of the Lord. He says, oh, no, we can't come into heaven. Heaven, we don't belong here because heaven is too good. And we can't be, how can we be connected with God when God is so holy and pure, right? So he says, my eyes have seen the King. I've seen him, right? You might have heard that song, I see the Lord seated on the throne, exalted, and the train of his robe. Remember that song? Have you ever heard that? Fill the temple with glory. Remember that song? That's what that's. This is, comes from Isaiah chapter 6. So this, but the seraphim flew to him and touched him with these tongs from the altar, like a burning hot coal. Touched his tongue, touched his lips. Yowzer. The point is, it's purging away the evil. Purging away the evil. This happens two different ways. One of the ways is justification, where we are made righteous in his sight because of the blood of Christ. The other way is where we're made righteous by the blood of Christ, but on an ongoing basis and as in the sanctification process, where we learn and to do right. Okay, so he realizes, okay, you've made me righteous. Just like in the earlier chapter, we were talking about Joshua and how the Lord had made him ready to go and save the world and, you know, build the temple of God's people. So now Isaiah wants to do the same thing. He's saying, the Lord says, who's going to go for us? We need someone to go and really, we need someone to make some changes in this earth, because the earth is not filled with the glory of the Lord at this point. Isaiah said, I'll go, here am I, send me. I'm sure you've heard this before, but you might not have connected it to this passage right here. This is what Isaiah was told. He said, okay, go tell these people, keep on hearing, but don't understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. That is not what any missionary wants to hear. That's not what you want to think of as a missionary. You want to think that you go and you tell them about the great love of God and how he's so wonderful. And then immediately everyone says, I want to receive Christ and I want to walk with him and all that. He says, no. So what is going on with this passage? Well, it's also reiterated in Mark 4, right here, as our Lord Jesus was telling, this is fast forwarding 700 years. He said, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all these things come in parables, so that, quote, from Isaiah 6, chapter 6, seeing that they may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven. He is quoting Isaiah chapter 6. And then here we are looking in this passage here from Zechariah. Same thing. Yet make their hearts as hard as flint, lest they might hear the law and the words which the Yahweh of armies has sent by his spirit by the former prophets. What is going on? It sounds on the surface like the Lord doesn't want them to repent. That's what it sounds like. Okay, and I've always been like, what is this about? So this is what I believe is happening. In this day, it was going to be imperative that they are scattered throughout the world. It was imperative. They could not stay in this one little clump. They had to be scattered throughout the world. And so even their evil is all part of this grand plan. To scatter them all throughout the world. And looking at, you know, when someone worships Satan, when they would do Baal worship, their hearts get hard as flint. Remember that passage in Jeremiah, I want to say 36, it says, you know, the Lord will give us, take out the stony heart or the flinty heart and give us a heart of flesh. This is what we need to walk with the Lord. We need a heart that's soft, that is willing to obey him, and willing to submit to him and to turn to him, right? The Lord alone can take out that stony heart and give us the heart of flesh, the one that doesn't stop up the ears, where we say, Lord, teach me. I want to know your ways. I want to walk in your ways. So, you know, back in the day, these people had worshiped Satan and their hearts had gotten so hard. It's like, you're going to have to go until you learn these very hard lessons to really walk. I don't want to just hear a bunch of talk. I want you to really walk it. And it's in your heart. It's a heart of stone instead of just a heart of flint that really just like puts on a show. Right? The Lord is not impressed and he's not fooled. Right? So, all right. So just go ahead and let them do all this evil until they really, really, really learn their lesson. But there are some who refuse, who will not, because they're still worshiping Satan. and they're not set free from Satan. And some of these people will never be set free from Satan, and they will be cast into hell. Okay? And the Lord says, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. And those who don't, make their heart dull and their ears heavy and shut their eyes. That's what they're doing. They're like, I don't want to hear. I don't want to see. And really, it's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. If you are standing in a place where you are submitting to the Lord, it is the grace of God. What's the difference between them and us? No difference except for the grace of God. That's the thing. Just give thanks right now. Pinch yourself. If you are standing in the grace of God, that is his mercy on you. And that you are not some of these that we see who are worshiping Satan. All right. So because they've hardened their heart, but they're in a trap and they can't extricate themselves. Only our Lord Jesus can bind the strong man and set the captive free. Isn't that true? All right. So that was the mindset. And the Lord said, okay, I will scatter them with a whirlwind among all the nations which they have not known. They'll be go places they never even heard of such a place. Even they never even knew about America. And here we've been scattered all the way to America. Right? And so we're waiting for this day when the curse of Satan running the world will be broken. And that's where we are on the timeline of history. But anyway, so no man, the land will be made desolate, so no man will pass through. And that's exactly what happened to the northern land of Israel where they had lived. But the pleasant land that they had was made desolate because they were all left. And, how long does it take for something to be overtaken with thorns and briars? And it doesn't take long. All right, so that's what happened. That's what the Lord had said what's going to happen, and sure as the world, that's exactly what did happen. And this was all part of his gigantic plan to save the world and to not just have the people in this one little country, but to have the people who love God all over the world. So the earth would be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters fill the sea. All right. So now I think we're going to do our last question. Was there anything else on that one first before we go?
No, that it just, again, how the Bible repeats, that's through like Pharaoh. There was timing on everything. He closed his heart, hardened his heart. So yep. I just kept thinking of that.
Yes,
well.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all in timing.
Yes,
and
yes.
Some that are just not going to open.
And it was part of God's purpose.
Purpose, yes.
That the purposes of God might stand. Mm-hmm. He's got, yeah. I always think of also that Fanny Crosby song, while on others thou art calling, do not mm-hmm. pass me by. Remember that? I don't want to be left. I'm so thankful that I'm thankful that my name is not Shifty Shift. Who here is thankful their name's not Shifty Shift or Nancy Pants? All right. So we have one more, right? Is that, and then we're on our last one.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah, we're doing pretty well. All right. So go ahead. Read me that one.
Okay, what kind of temple does the Lord say he wants? It shall come to pass that, as you were a curse among the nations, house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Don't be afraid, let your hands be strong. For Yahweh of armies says, as I thought to do evil to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says Yahweh of armies, and I didn't repent. So again, I have thought in these days to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Don't be afraid. These are the things that you shall do. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you devise evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, says Yahweh.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, he wants his temple. It's not about a building. He wants all of his people to be this temple of praise and blessing. And that's what you people are. I love my chat. I love that we get together, that the Freedom Force Battalion is a beautiful temple of the Lord. You know, we're all over the world. We're all over the place, but we are gathered together as this beautiful blessing. I just love it. You know, don't be afraid. Let your hands be strong. So yeah, the Lord's, it, they said, okay, well, you know, I didn't, he says, I thought to do evil to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath and I didn't repent. So again, I have thought in these days to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. So don't be afraid. And again, he was not doing, quote, evil, but it feels like it when you're punished, when you get that ticket from the police officer, or if you had to go to jail and that's the thing slammed shut and you're having to be in jail for a month or whatever, or if you're having to, you know, if you're a child and you're punished in the corner, it feels like, oh, my parents don't love me and they're mad, you know, they're evil. why would they do that? It's for their good, right? Hebrews 12, 6 and 7. The Lord loves those he chastens. All right. So he said, this is what happens, as it says, afterward, it produces the peaceable fruit of righteousness. No punishment seems joyous, but grievous, but afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Where is that verse? Is that 1 Peter something? Anyway, somebody find that and put it in the chat. But he says, this is the peaceable fruit of righteousness, as in verse 16, that they'll speak every man the truth with his neighbor. They'll execute judgment of truth, and they'll bring peace in the gates. This is what's happening in our country. We're executing truth right now with this ICE going out and straightening all this stuff out and removing the evildoers out of these cities. It had to happen. We have, and trust me, it's going to be more before it's over. We've got to get these cities that have been ruled by demons out, and the cities will be beautiful. You know, Houston will be wonderful, and it's hard to imagine. Los Angeles will be wonderful. Portland, Oregon will be wonderful. Chicago will be wonderful, and there'll be people speaking truth to their neighbors. Yeah. So this is, because the Lord hates all this falsehood that's been going on there. And this is all, like I said, all in the book that I'm writing about the golden age, about everyone's going to speak the truth. He says, no one that makes a lie. It's just, that's what it's going to be in the golden age. This is not just heaven. This is what the golden age is about. Everyone will know the Lord. You will not have to tell your neighbor to know the Lord. They'll all know me from the least to the greatest. All right. That's what he wants his temple to be. And that's what we want it to be too, Lord. All right. Anything else? Yes, exactly. Sleeping giant. Nothing hurts a parent more than watching their own child hurt themselves with poor decisions. Exactly.
Well, we started reading at 13 and it's Isaiah 8:12. So it's the passage right before, I'm planting seeds of peace and prosperity.
Yes.
Among you, grapevines will be heavy with fruit. The earth will produce its crops and the heavens will release the dew. Once more, I will cause the remnant in Judah and Israel to inherit these blessings.
Awesome. Okay, so what verses are those?
That was 8:12, and we started at 13.
Okay, so we need to add 8:12.
We need.
Yeah, we need to add that. Before we know it, we'll put the whole thing. Just put the whole Bible in there. But I know.
Put it in there.
I know. It's all good. Yes, that was beautiful. Yes. So read it one more time. Read it one more time.
For I am planting seeds of peace and prosperity among you. The grapevines will be heavy with fruit. The earth will produce its crops, and the heavens will release the dew. Once more, I will cause the remnant in Judah and Israel to inherit these blessings.
Yes, right. And I love how it's talking about the seed, that when he scattered the seeds, that they'll spring up. That was the whole point of having the seeds scattered, having us scattered. Even now, as like many of us in America or wherever you've been scattered all over the earth, that you were there to be the fragrant aroma of Christ in every place, right? As the Word of God says. All right. Who loved them some Isaiah, some Zechariah this morning? I love it. All right. So don't forget, you can go get the book over on Amazon if you haven't done it. And also do your homework, do your studying so you can really learn this from your heart. It's one thing to listen to Melly. It's another thing to really study it and to make it really where you understand it. So then you can help other people to understand it too. So as well as the end times and 1,000 years of peace, as well as the major clues from minor prophets, and also about how this is biblical. This, of course, I'm going to see you guys tomorrow morning, but this on the 10th, which is 10-10, that's the Feast of Tabernacles. We're starting the Feast of Tabernacles where we celebrate the Lord tabernacling with us. Hopefully you've made your little booth where you can go out and basically have picnics outside and have in the beautiful weather and get to enjoy your family and friends. But on the on this particular day, on the Feast of Tabernacles, is when we celebrate Moses setting the people free from the tyrants. So that's quite apropos if something big happens on that day. We'll see. We will see. It may be the day that they go into all the cities and start rooting them out. He said he'll go soon. President Trump talked about going in. You know, he's in Portland. He's done one quick thing into Chicago, but it may be that something bigger happens on 10/10. We'll see. We'll see. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. So don't worry if it does. Let's pray. Thank you again, Lord. We praise you that you put all this in your word for us so that we could, you could help us to understand in these crazy days what you were doing in the earth, that you're not doing this for evil. You're doing this to save us, to rescue us from these demons and to cast these demons out. And we just didn't realize how evil they were, this Antichrist that would put in these positions of authority over us. We just had no idea until you revealed it to us. And it had to get so bad and we had to for us to realize what was going on. Thank you, Lord, that you are setting us free and that we will have peace on this earth, this beautiful days, like Zechariah was telling us about, and that we are that remnant scattered all over the earth, building up your house in every place. Lord, I thank you for everyone on the battalion. I thank you for with everything that they do each day as you lead them by your spirit, and that they are working righteousness on the internet and in their towns, wherever they are, so that they can help to usher in your kingdom. And we're just very thankful that you will rule as king and priest, and that there'll be no separation between church and state, because you are the king and priest. And if anybody has a problem, they can take it up with you. You will rule this world in righteousness. We praise you that it's going to be, everything will be set right, and everyone will have unity around you, the one who loves us, and that you are the one who saved us from our enemies. We thank you and we praise you and love you. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. All right, guys, I love you. Amen. It's time to jet. It's time to go. Don't forget to check out all the resources on the site. We have amazing things. And I'm working on something right now, but I just had been working on the page on the natural remedies. I've got lots of videos. Someone asked me to do that, so I have lots of videos about that. More is being put on there every day, so you can get your health back. We're not following Big Pharma. The Lord is showing us natural remedies so that you can be well. It's very, very exciting. All right. Anything else, Miss Tammy?
Can you show them the social one, too? I'm getting a lot of notes about Facebook and other sites, and these are your real sites.
I do not have Facebook. I was on it. I was kicked off. And at this point, I'm not doing Facebook. I'm just, because we've got Truth, we've got Telegram, we've got X, and we've got Getter. And that's all we can handle. It's a lot, especially because I post a lot. Y'all know that. Hello, Tammy, right? Now we have, now this is the true videos. So,
right. Yeah. Well, people say they've missed you for months, and that's because some either got kicked off inadvertently on Rumble, or they've not got the right one, because there are a lot of fake Mellies out there.
Right. Everybody wants to be Melly. But yeah, this is the real ones right here. Okay, so if ever we lose each other again, I hope I won't ever get kicked off of YouTube again or any channel. But if we lose each other, this is where you come to melissaredpill.com, and you can find all the real places, okay? All right, love you guys. Thank you for saying that. Yes, love you guys. All right, we're going to jet, and I'll see you tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, on the 5th of October at 11 a.m. Central, and I'll see you on the social media, too. Oh, I'm going to do something else, because I always, cut myself off before I say see you later, so I'm going to play a little song afterwards so that I don't end up cutting off seeing you later, okay? I love you guys, and I'll be on the chat for a little bit, and I will talk to you later.
The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders.